Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message. You are more than your bones if you don't know that, get it. Don't you stop now, baby. Show your fight now, baby. Going to Olympia, baby. Acts chapter 27 is where we're going to be today. We're concluding our sermon series, Where is God, to a close. And this past week I was texting with someone about the message last week, and they said to me, you know, Pastor Brad, your message last week hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said to them, I really hope it was a hopeful and encouraging ton of bricks. that it wasn't somehow that you left church feeling beaten up and battered like someone had been throwing stones at you. Because that's not the hope. But we are talking about some difficult subjects. We are exploring some difficult topics. We are looking at difficult moments in our lives. And sometimes when we look at difficult moments, when we look at challenging times in our lives, it can hurt a little bit. It can be painful as we talk about the valleys of life. It can be painful if we're there, or if we can identify with being there. When we talk about being lost in the wilderness and wanting to give up all hope and give up on our lives and give up on everything that we are, it can be really painful. And this morning, as we explore the storms of life and explore what this looks like, it can really be like ripping off a Band-Aid. But my hope is that as we explore these things, that you're encouraged. That you're left not feeling like, oh, he was able to identify exactly where I was. That's brutal. But that as we have talked about, where is God? That even if these moments you've been able to say, that is way too familiar, that you're able to leave saying, I'm encouraged. I know that I may not be through what I'm facing, but I know where God is in it. And because I can see where God is and what he's doing in my life, this didn't hurt. It's painful. And it's important that we talk about the difficult moments, the hard moments in life. Because as I've said multiple times, and you're going to hear it again today, because it's true today as it was last week. God didn't change this week. Our relationship with God is not forged in the mountaintops. And we saw that last week with Elijah, where Elijah went from the mountaintopiest mountaintop moment that you could ever mountaintop. And the next big moment in his life is another mountaintop moment, where he has this next incredible experience with God. And in the middle of those two things, he prays, God, kill me. God, I've lost my life. And he has this incredible moment where he just gives up. And what you see is you can't live from mountaintop to mountaintop just clinging to them. Because when you come down off the mountaintop, that's when life gets real. That's when our relationship with God gets real. That we need to be able to journey through the valleys of life, journey through the wilderness of life, journey through the storms of life, and journey through it well for our relationship with the Lord to grow, to become stronger. And then the mountaintop experiences, they're great. And the storms and the valleys and the wilderness, as we go through it, we know where God is. And we can trust and believe in his goodness, even as things are not always good. And so now we come to this week. This is the last sermon in this series. Next week, we're going to begin a new sermon series. It's going to take us through till I go on holidays. But we're going to be looking at some characteristics in our lives, some things in our lives that God wants us to have to be there. Things like how we're going to look at how to have the heart of a worshiper, how to have a vibrant prayer life, and tangible things, how to be content. All of these characteristics in our lives that are going to grow our relationship with the Lord. That as much as we can talk about, you know, we need to be able to weather the storms and weather the valley moments. These are the things that are going to be put in our toolbox that will allow us to do that. And so starting next week and for the next 7 weeks, those are the things we're going to explore, is just how God would want to grow and develop characteristics in our lives. But this week, we're going to look at what is one of the most common moments in our walk with the Lord, one of the most common moments in our life in general, and easily one of the most dangerous. And if we cannot see God in the middle of these, if as we face the storms of life, if we can't see God in the storms, it's going to wreak all kinds of havoc and cause all kinds of problems in our lives. And the collateral damage, the consequences of not being able to see God as we walk through the storms can be devastating. We can lose so much if we can't see God. We're going to take some time today and talk about the storms of life. Storms are those times in our life where things become hurtful, when things become painful. Storms are violent. Violent weather is a storm. Nobody got up this morning and looked out the window this morning and said, man, the sun is sure storming today. There is a sun storm happening. That sun is shining, and it's just shining and shining and shining, and it just won't stop shining. What a storm we're in. We woke up this morning, and after the last couple of days, said, hey, it's not storming. Because it's not violent out. It's not wind blowing. It's not storming rain. It's not snowing. It's not violent weather. It's peaceful outside. And so we don't look and identify what's outside as a storm. We look and we identify what's outside as the absence of a storm. That this is what life should be. Every morning we should wake up to the sun shining and the birds chirping and the weather being 15 degrees and all kinds of things, that this is what life should be. And so we don't identify that as a storm. We take a look, and when we look outside and the rain is blowing sideways because the wind is, so we look and we go, this is a storm. And so this morning, what we're going to talk about are these violent moments in our lives. Perhaps not physical violence, although for some here, physical violence has been a part of your story, may be a part of your story. And God wants to heal that. God wants to restore that. God's call on your life is not that you would live in physical violence. That's not what God wants for you, and God wants to work in your life to restore that. But the storms of our life, they can be emotionally violent. They can be spiritually violent. They can be these times in our lives where we're just getting beat up emotionally. Our souls and our spirits, they're beat to a pulp and they're black and blue. Our spiritual life is just getting slapped around and beat down. These moments in our life where the storms of life are just coming upon us, and it just seems like we're in a fight. And we have to fight to do anything. I was saying to Yvonne, yesterday, we were trying to get together for Theo's birthday party yesterday, and I had been working for what felt like a really long time to get stuff ready, and I looked around, and it just feels like all I've done is put two tablecloths on. In like 3 hours of work, all it felt like was I'd put two tablecloths on, and I can do it faster than that, I swear. But it's just these moments in our lives where it's like we're just having to fight and fight and fight and fight and fight, and nothing is coming easy and everything is coming hard and things are just difficult. We're just in pain. We get a picture of these moments in our lives in Acts chapter 27. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is on the last leg of the journey in his life. He's on his way to Rome, not as a holiday. Not on vacation. In fact, essentially the opposite of that. He's a prisoner. He's a captive. He has been arrested for being a disturber of the peace. He's been arrested for being a troublemaker. He's been arrested for sharing the gospel and being effective. As we read the stories of Paul going to all of these different cities and sharing the gospel and planting churches and revivals taking place and all of this, well, that came at a great cost for Paul. And he ended up in jail. And the story of the journey of his life takes him now on his way to Rome. Paul is a Roman citizen, and so he has the right to be tried in Rome. And so he invokes that right and says, I want to go to Rome. Now, for Paul, he sees this as an all-inclusive paid missions trip. Is he's excited to go to Rome because, hey, it's a whole new place. I've never preached there. And you get the book of Romans because Paul goes there. But it comes because he's a prisoner. It comes because he's in jail, and so he's being sailed to Rome to face trial where eventually he's going to die. But he's on his way there by boat, and in Acts chapter 27, we read this account of this incredible storm that comes into his life. But it doesn't start out that way. The voyage starts out all right. What we discover is, if you read the first few verses in Acts chapter 27, you discover that it's not a great time of year to be sailing to Rome. So the voyage is difficult, but it's expectedly difficult. That the winds aren't blowing in the right direction and things aren't just going the right way for them to get to Rome, but they set sail anyway. And as they're sailing, it's tough times and the wind just isn't kind of cooperating, but it's that time of year, and discover partway through the journey, the boat that Paul's on, it joins up with another boat and they try to do this whole thing together. But then in verse 13, it starts to seem like maybe their life or their situation, their voyage, it's starting to change a little bit. It says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shores of Crete. The wind changes. This gentle breeze begins to blow. And it begins to blow in the right direction. And they see this. They see our fortunes have changed. Things are looking up. We're able to go in the right direction. This is going to be great. And they begin to set sail. They fought and fought, but now here it is. The storms of life don't always start out looking like storms. How often have you heard people say, when it came to a big storm, especially one really violent that is very much outside of the norm, have you heard people say, maybe you've said it, it seemed like it came without warning. It came, we weren't prepared, we weren't aware that this is what was going to happen. It's sometimes like that in the storms of our lives. We like to think, we like to hope, we like to believe that we're smart enough, that we're capable enough to be able to see these things on the horizon, that we're able to have an opportunity to avoid and deal with the storms before they come. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes the forecast is right. Sometimes the weather network gets it right. You open your app or you flip to the channel and it says it's going to rain, and lo and behold, it rains. It says it's going to hail, lo and behold, there's hail. It's going to snow and it snows. Sometimes you're at the Stampede and they said it's going to be a beautiful day, and then a hailstorm rolls in and you are not prepared for it. Sometimes the weather says it's going to be really nice. We're going to take a trip up to Edmonton this weekend, and halfway through, a gigantic snowstorm blows through. Sometimes they're not right. Sometimes the storms of our lives, they seem to blow in without warning. We don't know it's coming. We don't know it's going to be that. We didn't know this is what was going to happen. We did everything we could to try and avoid it, and it just, lo and behold, here's where we are. And in our lives, sometimes it's the same. Sometimes we can see the storms coming, and sometimes, bam, they're just there. They're just here. No warning, nothing off in the distance, but seemingly here I am in a fight with my spouse. Here I am getting a health diagnosis I didn't know was coming. Suddenly, my job that was so secure, I don't have it anymore. You find out that your kid is going to have a kid. That you go through life and you show up one day after work and you're having a great day and work was wonderful and you come home and you say, "Honey, I'm home." And your spouse says, "We need to talk." Or you show up at work and you had a great morning and everything's wonderful and you walk into work and you're saying good morning to everybody and your boss says, "I need you to come into my office for a second. Can you close the door behind you?" Or you get your annual checkup at the doctor's office and you're feeling great, you're feeling healthy, you're feeling fine. And you go to your doctor's office and your doctor says, "I need you to sit down. I'm just going to close the door. We need to have a little chat." You didn't know you were walking into this. You didn't know that this was what was coming. It wasn't that somehow the dark clouds were off on the horizon and you've watched them come closer and closer and closer for hours. You just were going through life and things seemed fine. Then a storm blows in. And you're not ready for what's taking place. You're not ready for this. This isn't the way things are supposed to be. You don't know that there are these things coming, but suddenly, without warning, here they are. And that's what happens. You see, we read this gentle breeze begins to blow. And it gives them hope. It gives them an opportunity. But then, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Curita, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, but they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. But they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Cyprus, so they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship just be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. A nice, gentle breeze began to blow. And then all of a sudden, it's not a nice, gentle breeze. And it goes from this potential season of opportunity, this season where things are looking good, they're looking up, they're looking right, we may finally be able to make some hay, to we are scared we're going to die. And things change. In storms like this, we have a tendency to give them names. If I say to you, Katrina, in the context of a storm, you probably will think of Hurricane Katrina. That name rings a bell. You would say, "I know the storm you're talking about." If I was to say Andrew, think Hurricane Andrew. I know that storm had a name and that storm name rings a bell. If you've lived here for a long time, I would say to you, May Long Weekend 1986. And you say, "I remember that storm. I remember that snowstorm." We can identify storms by names. And we do the same thing for the storms in our lives. We give them names. We name them divorce. We name them adultery. We name them addiction. We name them bankruptcy. We name them pain. We name them hurt. We give the storms of our lives different names, but they're the storms of our life that we face. And in verse 20, we get a picture of the power of the storm that Paul was facing and the power of the storms in our lives and what it can do. It says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." The storm got so great that they looked around. And there was nothing to look for. There was nothing they could see. There was nothing that they could tangibly look to or touch to give them hope. Have you ever had a storm like this in your life? Where even God's creation doesn't look the same to you? that the things that you know that are there, you look out and you can't see the sun. You can't see the moon. You can't see the stars. You can't find true north in your life, but the storm is so powerful and so palpable, so thick and so desperate that all the light is just blotted out of your life. And you look around at the storm you find yourself in, and you just resign yourself. You give up all hope. You look around and you say, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to get where I'm going. I don't know if it's this way or that. I can't see anything. And these are the moments that you find yourself on the bathroom floor in tears, like big ugly tears. Moments where other people, they don't know what to do. That they don't know what to say. Moments where all hope is lost. And this is how the sailors are feeling. That they look around and they can't see left or right or north or south. All hope is evaporated and all that's left is just the storm. They look around in the situation they find themselves in and they can't figure out which way to go. They can't figure out how to get out of this. And so they just have to come to a place where they say, we can't even try anymore because I don't know where to go. I can't get it. We can't get out of here if we don't know which way to go. We're just going to have to be in the storm and just hope that somehow, some way we get through this. And we have no idea how many people in our lives that we come across are going through storms that are exactly in this place. You may be at the store buying bread, and that person is in a storm. They may be grumpy, ornery, awful to be around, unpleasant, and all of those things. They may be in a storm. They may be happy, jovial, happy-go-lucky, a smile on their face, and their life maybe a storm. They may be sitting right next to you in church right now, listening and paying attention and nodding, maybe even taking notes, and seemingly everything is good. And their life may be in a storm. And I think if we're able to recognize that storms of life happen to all of us, and storms of life happen in each of our lives, that maybe we can just learn to extend each other a little grace. That as we're at the grocery store and somebody cuts in front of us to grab something or cuts us off in traffic or whatever, that our response in the middle of our storm may be to rip into them. But if we can remember and understand and trust that people all around us are going through stuff, that maybe gives us a little perspective on how we can love them, how we can care for them, how we can show them grace, how we can show them the love of Jesus. The storm continues to pound away in verse 21. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice to not sail from Crete." Earlier in the chapter, back in verse 10, Paul tells them this voyage is not a good idea. But they don't listen to him and they go anyway. So here's Paul coming to all of them in the middle of the storm and saying, "Told you so." But it's not just Paul coming to them. It's Paul the prisoner coming to them. He's got his arms tied behind his back. "Guys, you should have listened to me. I told you so. I said this and that. Look, here we are." Sometimes we all want to say, "I told you so." And there's almost nothing in life that's less helpful than somebody coming to you and saying, "You know, I told you so." Life is difficult. Life is hard. It's all falling apart all around you. And then you have that one guy in your life that comes to you and says, "Brandon, told you so." And your thought, "Oh, thank you very much. That's really helpful. Now not only do I have to deal with all of this, but apparently you think I'm an idiot too. Thank you very much." And here's Paul coming to all of his captors and saying, "I told you so." Let's not be that guy.
But he says, then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. Now this is something that's really important for us to understand this morning. The next thing we're going to talk about, it's really, I think, profound, and I think impactful, and I think really important that we understand. You see, God, through Paul, tried to warn them about the storm. That God, through Paul, said, guys, don't go right now. Don't do this. Don't do it. Don't go there. But they didn't listen, and they set sail anyway. Now, perhaps Paul's credibility as a prisoner saying, hey, don't take me to my trial. I'm sure a lot of prisoners probably said that. But the reality is God was speaking through Paul. And the sailors heard what Paul had said and knew who Paul was. And they ignored it anyway. And they sailed on. Now, maybe in your life, maybe the storms that you've had, some storms in your life, maybe you had a warning. Maybe God said to you, don't do this. Maybe other people said to you, don't do this. Maybe you went ahead and did it anyway. Maybe in the course of your life, there was a million red lights and a million flashing sirens and a million things happening in your life that were saying, don't do this. And we said, I think I'm going to do this. And there's all kinds of reasons why that happens. It's not just that we're stubborn and silly and not making right decisions. Sometimes we believe that God has called us to do this, and so other people tell it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's just something we look at and we go, I think this is right, and other people may not see it, but I think I need to do this. Sometimes it's because we're stubborn and silly and make bad decisions. There's times in our lives where people have said to us, don't do this, where God has said, don't do this. But we went ahead and did it anyway. And you find yourself in the middle of the storm, and the words from before the storm echo, I told you so. I told you. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't do this. But here's the important part. Here's what we see in this story, and here's what God wants to share with us today. Even if you walked into the storm on your own, even if you created the storm, even if everybody around you said, don't do it, it's a storm. Even if God said to you, don't do this. Even if everything in your life said stop and you just kept right on going, here's the truth, God still wants to heal that storm. God still wants to heal the mess that we find ourselves in, even when the mess is entirely our fault. Even when we make the mess, God still wants to heal us. God wants to love you through the storm. God wants to guide you through the storm. So often, if we're honest with ourselves, we can look at the storms of our lives and say, I made this happen. It was because of my bad judgment. It was because of a decision I made. It was something that happened in my life, and I'd love to blame my spouse. I'd love to blame my boss. I'd love to blame the devil. I'd love to blame somebody. But if I look at this, it was probably me. And in God's eyes, change is nothing. It doesn't change anything if it's our own fault. Because regardless of how we found ourselves here, God is for you. God is for you. He is not against you. Even when we made the mess, God will always be there to help us clean it up. Yesterday was Theo's birthday party, and they made an awful mess in our basement. They shredded wrapping paper like you wouldn't believe. And we just closed the door and said, we'll deal with it later. But when we come home today, There's going to be a mess that needs to be cleaned up. And when the mess is in our lives, God comes alongside and he says, don't worry about it. Yes, you made this mess. Yes, it was all you. And yes, I've got grace for this. And he will help us clean up the messes in our lives. It doesn't matter if we made the mess, God's love still overcomes it. And Paul shows the sailors this in verse 22 when he says, but now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. The sailors did not listen. They made this voyage anyway. When God was telling them not to, they made this voyage. But God's word to them is, you're all going to live. You're all going, I am going to see you through this storm you never should have been in the first place. I'm going to make sure you make it through it. But sometimes the storms of life, sometimes they will wreak absolute havoc on the things of this world. But your life is eternal. The ship might not make it, but you will. You're going to make it. It may not seem like it right now. You may be in the middle of a storm and you may be trying to hold on to as many things as you can get your hands onto, trying to hold on just to stay afloat, trying to hold on to things with all your might, and you might be losing them. But what God says through Paul to the sailors is the same thing he says to you right now. Take courage. Take courage. God is for you. He is not against you. God loves you. He cares for you and he is there with you. You might lose some things. You might take some damage along the way. But your life, your eternal life, that cannot be taken from you. Your salvation, it cannot be taken from you. Your eternal life, your eternal destiny, it cannot be taken from you. No storm can do that for you. You cannot be taken from your Savior's hand. The boat might not make it, but you will. Now, this isn't to trivialize the pain of loss. Loss always hurts. And sometimes storms come with great loss. Some of our losses look like relationships. Some of our losses can look like a marriage. Some of our losses can look like conflict. Some of our losses look like uncertainty and fear. Some of our losses look like anger and rage. Loss always hurts. And we cannot just pass over that and say, oh, well, chin up, you're going to heaven. Eventually, it'll all be fine. It's all going to be okay. Sometimes life just stinks. Listen, sometimes it's going to hurt. And sometimes when we go through the storms of life and we don't navigate them well, and we don't go through them with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we don't go through them in the presence of Jesus, there's going to be collateral damage. And every single ounce of that is going to hurt. And this isn't to trivialize it, and it's not to somehow take away from the pain of that. But what we can do, what we can have, is we can take courage because God is with us. And even if it does cost us things, and storms don't have to cost us things, but the story of our human existence is that they will. The question is, what are they going to cost us? But even if they cost us things, we can take courage. We can have hope. It will never cost us God. The storms we face and the choices we make because of them may cost us so much, relationships, families, finances, security, hope. But no matter what the storms are and the fallout from them, we can never lose God. Depending on how we go through the storms of life, they can be so violent. They can take so much from us. The assurance that we have in that is that no matter what we go through, we will never lose Jesus. The last verse we're going to look at from Acts is verse 23, and it will say this. Last night, this is Paul talking, an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. In the middle of this storm that was so great that they couldn't see the sun, they couldn't see the moon, they couldn't see the stars, they couldn't see anything, the presence of God was right beside Paul. Right in the middle of it. He wasn't on the other end of the storm calling him through and being like, come on, buddy, you can do it. Follow the sound of my voice. Come through and I'll come here and you'll find me. He was standing right beside him. In the greatest storms of your life, God is right beside you. He's always right there for you, right in the middle of it. He is the comforter. And because he's right there for you, he can bring comfort. He is strength. And because he's right there in the middle of it with you, he can bring you strength. He is hope. And because he's right there in the middle of it with you, he will bring you hope. He is the Prince of Peace. And because he is right there in the middle of the storm, right beside you, he will bring you peace. See, peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is the presence of Jesus. It's not somehow that peace exists only outside of the storms. Paul was able to look at this crew of men in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a storm that he was facing. It wasn't that somehow God had caused this little sliver of sunlight to shine through the storm and it just followed Paul around wherever he went, that he wasn't affected. It wasn't that somehow God put a magic umbrella over his head so that Paul was saved by everything. He was right in the middle of the storm, and yet somehow Paul is able to look all of the people on the boat in the eye and say, take courage, you're going to live. And that's not because of Paul's great intestinal fortitude. It's not because of Paul's amazing strength. It's not because of anything like that. Paul had peace, and his peace came from the Prince of Peace that stood beside him in the storm. And as he faced the storm, as he faced this onslaught, as he faced death in the eye, he was able to do it differently than everybody else, because he had Jesus there with him. Because God was right beside him, and he brought peace with him when he came. And he brought comfort, and he brought hope. And so when all hope was lost, the personification of hope was there. And as he stood on the boat, he wasn't afraid, because God was saying, take courage. Psalm 16, verses 8, 9, and 10 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me. I keep my eyes on the Lord, and because of that, my heart is glad. And the overflow of that is that I will speak praise, I will rejoice, and my body is secure. Because whatever I face, whatever I go through, whatever storms in life will blow against me, I can stand secure and strong, because I know that the Lord is with me. Regardless of what you are going through, the pain, the brokenness, the seasons of your life that just hurt, God is always with you. It may not make it less painful in our humanity, but it allows us to have a perspective and a hope that's bigger than our humanity, bigger than our storms, that our peace isn't just avoiding these moments, but our peace is in Jesus. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. As we go through the storms of life, we can fall into the temptation of using words like always or never. I'll never get married. I will never be happy. I will never have a kid. I will always be miserable. This always happens to me. Just my luck. This is what my life always looks like. But today, God wants to change that language in your life. He says to you, he says to us this morning, wherever you don't see hope, where all you see is pain, know that I am with you. Jesus always represents hope. Jesus always represents hope. And so as we come to moments in our life where we look and we go, there is no hope, don't forget who's standing right beside you in the middle of the storm. And as long as we can keep our eyes on him, we have hope. May your homes be filled with the presence of Jesus. May your marriages be filled with the presence of Jesus. May your finances, may your decisions, may your love, may your friendships, may your life be filled with the presence of Jesus. Because your friendships, they will go through storms. Your finances, they're gonna go through storms. Your marriage, it's gonna go through storms. But when you have the presence of Jesus, in the middle of the storms, you're gonna find peace. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is the presence of Jesus. I want to close with something probably fairly challenging for you. Something that might push you, that you might even struggle to accept. But I'm going to push you with it anyway because I think it's true and I think it's right and I think it's the answer to the question. If there are areas in your life that you're not experiencing peace, if you're not finding peace in places of your life, I'm here to tell you today, you need more Jesus. It's as simple as that. We may not want to hear that because we may not want to say, oh, yes, I'm falling short in this area. There's not enough Jesus in my love for my spouse. There's not enough Jesus in my finances. There's not enough Jesus in my relationship with my boss or my kids. There's not enough Jesus in my home. There's not enough Jesus in whatever area. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if in your life today, there are areas where you're not experiencing peace, you need more Jesus. If you made the storm, the devil made the storm, wherever the storm came from, God wants to carry you through it. But the answer to the question is more Jesus. And it's not to look at the other person. It's not to look at your spouse. It's not to look at whatever and say, did you hear what he said? You need more Jesus. This isn't about somebody else. If you in your life do not have peace, you need more Jesus. Now, your spouse may too, but that's between them and God. That's not between you and God. If you are here today and there's places in your life you don't have peace, you need more Jesus. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is the presence of Jesus.
Until the storm has ceased, your voice will rise above the seas. We will not fear.
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family, we go.